Isaiah chapter 6. I'm just going to spend just a few moments. We're going to continue to worship. This is our night of worship. So I just want to just root some of this evening into the Word of God. And so it won't be a long time that I'm going to speak. It would just be probably about half the amount of time that I would normally would speak. But I want to just root some things about this evening and our night of worship in Isaiah 6. And I'm going to just take the theme of worship just for a moment or two. There's three things I want to look at briefly. So turn to Isaiah chapter 6. I just want to just read it, comment on it briefly, and then we're going to continue to the guys that are going to lead us in worship together. It's Isaiah 6 verse 1 reads like this. I'm reading from the NIV. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two wings they covered their feet, and with two wings they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe to me!" I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord God Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. And with it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." Here I am, send me. I want to look at three things that come to us in worship that based on that, just that brief reading there for a moment or two. The first thing that we see is that when we worship, when we set our hearts to worship, I came across a saying by a man called Jack Hayford, and this is what Pastor Jack Hayford wrote, a pastor from America, a great, wise, Pentecostal leader, now fully in his mid-80s, an amazing man of God. He said this, "Worship changes the worshiper into the image of the one worshipped." Worship changes the worshiper into the image of the one worshipped. So when we, if you worship your car, well, that's what you live for, and that's what you become possession orientated. If you worship, you know, a pop idol, you know, it's that people actually follow that image. But when we worship God, we become nearness. A man called A.W. Tozer said, "Nearness is likeness." We get closer to God as we worship God, and we become more like Him, and we see Him, and that's whom our hearts long for, and we change. Well, there are three things that I just want to just say, just very quickly. That during worship, the first thing that happens is when we set our hearts to worship God, Isaiah said this. Do you notice this? The first thing, it says, "I saw the Lord high and exalted." We see God. You know, when we worship, obviously, you see the worship leaders, and you see the pretty lights, and we are taken by the lovely song. That's initial. That's what happens first of all. But ultimately, real worship, will be towards the person or the one whom we're worshiping, which is God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. You know, we can, and people get upset about volume of music and whether it's too loud or too little, whether it's with an organ or it's a piano or it's like modern sort of instruments and how quick or how slow it is. And all these things have their rightful place and we have different tastes and that's fine. But through it all, it's God that matters. And the first thing, when you set your heart to worship, even once you get through some of the songs and the type of music, and it's great to see the children. I just think it's brilliant to see the children. I don't mind if they're running around. I'd much rather be running around and in at their young lives beginning to worship, even if they enter in and they understand so much. In fact, Jesus actually said, "Let the little children come to me." In fact, Jesus said, "Let the children," because the disciples say, "Oh, quick, keep them quiet." He said, "But such as these that will enter the kingdom of God." In other words, he's saying to all the adults and the grown-ups, get a life, lighten up, because it's these hearts, it's young hearts that are abandoned, and they just don't have to say, is it too loud or is it the right music? They just join in. And that's the heart that God loves. And it's to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus lifted high. And I'm only standing on a platform so I can actually see you and speak. But it's not the pastor or the worship leaders. And there's some great speakers today. And we've got great worship leaders in our church. And there are other churches with great worship leaders. All these things and all these people, that's great to have them. But we see, thank God for the gifting, but we see past that and them and see Jesus. And in worship, and Isaiah caught a vision. My heart and our heart is in these nights of worship is that we become people that can see God in our circumstance. And so you could come tonight and feel really upset about something, and maybe you could feel very happy about something, and you could have things upon your heart, but we want to see God, the living God, who is alive forevermore. And so that's the first thing. So I find that in worship, I come to worship God, and I see Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and Father God. And so Isaiah. So the second thing that comes as we worship, as we see God, and I find that as I start to sing songs, and it's the songs first, but I don't know if you noticed tonight, there comes a place when, as you begin to come through the songs, and we were being led, I know they make you feel nice. You know, there's certain songs that the in song, but it's not about feeling nice. It's that Jesus is here. We begin to see him, feel him, know his peace, and God is here. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. He sits enthroned. He loves to be amongst us, and he's here. And so we begin to see him and feel him in our lives and know and experience the living God. God is alive. God is alive. Second thing that we see is the second thing. Do you notice this about Isaiah? When he began to see God, then an amazing thing happened. He saw himself as he really was. Look at this. In worship, we see God. We should see God. And that's how you know it's real worship and not entertainment. Because you can have entertainment and you can sing some rousing songs and you can be in churches that are very relevant and very alive. Doesn't matter if you sing, you know, with no music or lots of music. We want to see God. But the second thing, as when we see God, we begin to see ourselves as we really are. Look at this about Isaiah. So he says, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Began to get a vision of who God really is. Awesome creator of the universe. This wasn't entertainment. Isaiah was in worship. And it said, the sound of his voice, the doorpost shook. And then Isaiah said in verse 5, woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips. Isaiah saw himself as he really was. And when you come, you and I come in worship, if you really open up your heart and you begin to come to a place where you begin to see God or feel God here, then an amazing thing happens. As you open up your heart, God challenges. The Holy Spirit is a Holy Spirit, and he's a spirit of conviction, not condemnation, and he begins to challenge our hearts. So with Isaiah, he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. He thought, Isaiah was a prophet. Isaiah was a man of God. I find this quite incredible. And there he's saying, I'm unclean. I find that amazing. This is a prophet. He's written the book of Isaiah. It's a pretty amazing book. And yet he said, I'm unclean. I think that's pretty incredible. This amazing man, because he began to see himself before this amazing, incredible, merciful, wonderful creator, God, Father, incredible, holy, awesome God. And he began to see himself as a speck on the universe, this awesome God. And he thought, who am I? We begin to see ourselves. Now, if you're not right with somebody, if there's something that a shattered dream, if there's sickness in our lives, if there's someone that we need to get right with, if there's a habit that's a challenge, if we don't know God, do you know what? You can sing songs and not know God. You can read the Bible and still not know God. You can even pray and not know God. Oh, you can believe in God, but do you know the living God? And there is this point in our lives when in worship, we get ourselves right with God. Perhaps we've got to trust him for the first time. Maybe we've got to give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Open up the door of our lives and say, forgive me for living for myself. I want to live for you. Some of us as Christians, we become maybe lukewarm and we find ourselves, we need to stir it again to live our lives for God afresh. Maybe there's a habit, old habits, it says die hard. It's an old saying, isn't it? And Isaiah saw something in himself and said, I've seen the Lord. Now I see myself who I really am. But the amazing thing was this. When he came and cried out to God, and this is the great news. This is in the Old Testament. The angel came and touched him and made him clean. And Jesus says, come to me, all you, in the New Testament, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. What an amazing God, to have a God of great, awesome forgiveness. And finally, so we see ourselves. Now I find in worship, as I worship, I find the Holy Spirit just convicts me about myself. I don't go on a pity party. I feel liberated. I feel freed as God begins to speak into my heart. Some of the greatest healings I've observed have come in a time of worship, as the Holy Spirit has just touched a person's heart. The people have had a revelation. They've been freed. Finally, so we see the Lord, we see ourselves, and then finally, we see the world around us as it really is. Look at this. It says at the end there, when we worship, this is the power of worship, can change your life and my life forever. It changed Isaiah's life forever. It changes my life forever. We see the world for as it is. Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, this is Isaiah, here I am, send me. He said, go and tell this people. This is a man saying, I'm unclean. And when he was touched by God, he's now saying, send me. How amazing is that? We begin to see the world around us as God sees it. We see the people that are lost. We see the people that are broken. We see a world that needs to know Jesus Christ. We see an amazing world of opportunity. We see our neighbors, our friends, our workplace, our colleagues. It's not just wrapped up in this lovely building and being able to worship here, but worship takes us from seeing God, seeing ourselves when we're changed, to then going into all the world and seeing the world and sharing Jesus in the world around us, wherever we go, our neighborhood, my life. Excuse me. It takes us on this journey from seeing him, being changed, to then wanting to give our lives to serve him. That's worship. That's what worship does for you and does for me. And so, we see God, we give him our hearts, and our lives can be changed, and we see ourselves, and then we say, here's my life, God, take it. Here's my life, Jesus, take it. Let's pray together. We're going to continue to worship together. That's the power of worship, and that's what the power of this evening. So tonight, Heavenly Father, I pray that we might see you not only high and lifted up, but Lord Jesus, now that you come and live and reign in me, and we want to see you, Jesus, in my circumstance, in my life, in my home, in my marriage. Lord, I see myself and I say, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I give you my life afresh. Some of us tonight, maybe we need to say, Jesus, forgive me for living for me. I don't really know you, God, but I want to give you my life so that I can live for you, Jesus. Some of us have got things to put right with a neighbor or a friend. We've got to release forgiveness. Maybe there's a habit I'm going to bring to you, Father God, that's challenging my life. Maybe there's something that's hanging over my life that I'm just going to give to you, Father. And then finally, I see my world around me. My neighbors, my friends, my neighborhood, my colleagues, my work, my family, my loved ones, people who don't know you perhaps. And I say, this is my life. Send me, Jesus. Send me. Send me, Jesus. I pray, Father God, as a church, that you would touch our hearts afresh. As we worship you, may we become fashioned in your image. May we become more like you, Jesus. May we see you and be like you. May we know you, not only in our heads, but in our hearts, lives, and spirits. So we give you our lives afresh. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.